Welcome, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Technical Advisory Committee meeting here at Cuyahoga. And as we have in the past, there's some new faces. And we want to start with self-introductions. And if we'll go to my left and start working our way around the room, we'll introduce ourselves and who you're with.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Chris Childs. I'm the new executive director here at Cuyahoga. So I think I've met most of you. If I have not, I apologize, but I replaced Michelle back on July 1 with the start of our fiscal year. So this is my second TAC meeting that I've got to attend. I'm excited and looking forward to it, and I look forward to working with all of you.
I'm Bethany Wild with Cuyahoga.
You could have introduced yourself.
I'd say, Ralph, you came
Ralph,
in right
in. You came right in, perfect time.
Oh, Ralph Klein, Lawrence County.
Lawrence County Transit. Zach Shaw, and
Max Bryson, ODOT.
Max.
Lisa Wilson, Air Force
Engineer.
Caroline Griffith, ODOT Central Office.
Matt
Hillhurst,
with HDR Engineering.
Bree.
Bree Shell,
Jerry Brianza, Tri-State Airport.
Patrick Galati, Orange County Engineer.
Patrick.
Kelly Ward, South Dakota.
Bill Biggs, Granite County.
Michael Dillo, RPI.
Kelsey Carr, Regional Greenway.
Jeff Rice, Regional Interjection. Middle County Control Center.
Justin Matthews, RTI, Vancouver.
Tyler Comey, PPA.
Jennifer Woodall, PPA.
Ron Watson, West Virginia Division of Highway Planning.
Federal Highway Minister.
Frank Beth, RPI. Randy Spradlin, West Virginia Division of Highway District
3.
Joe Callahan, KYPC District 9 Planning.
Luke Stapleton, South
Coast. Thomas Litt, KYPC Central Office Planning.
Alex Vanderpool, Boyd County Physical Court.
Perfect timing.
Cherry Sicking, Cuyahoga.
Salim Salami, Cuyahoga.
Can we go to the back table? I think we missed Paul. And.
Paul Young, Cuyahoga.
Okay, and I'm Paul Davis. I'm also with TTA, and I get the honor of chairing this group. So welcome, everybody. Glad you're here. Okay, item number two on our agenda is the motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting as distributed.
Motion to approve.
Somebody got a second?
Second.
Who got the second? Did you get that?
Is that Randy, is that you seconding?
Oh,
yeah, great. Okay, very good. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Item number three, Cuyahoga's Transportation Studies and Projects Update. And evidently we have somebody on the phone.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Paul, this is Allison.
Okay, do we want to start with Chet Parsons first?
Yes, definitely. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yep.
Sure.
All right. So we have some slides. Are they up on the screen?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to go through now and give everyone an update on where we are with the street flooding mitigation plan. Our schedule is to have that wrapped up by June 30th. We're going to have it to you for review before then. But we're excited about moving through this process, and we're really in the meat of the planning right now to develop some alternatives and some options for the city of Huntington related to flooding in major areas of the city. So we'll go to the next slide. What we've done, you should see simulated closures. We have picked seven locations. Through working with the staff at Cuyahoga, and you can see those in red X's on your screen. Those seven locations correspond to the five underpasses at 1st, 8th, 10th, 16th, and 20th Street, as well as locations near the stadium in the low-lying areas on 3rd and 5th Avenues. So those are areas that we've been focusing on in both stormwater modeling and traffic modeling, to come up with some solutions that might help with the regular nuisance flooding that happens in those areas. The next slide. So we have now, talking about traffic modeling for the next couple slides, we have looked at what happens when you close, when you simulate closures at each of those locations. And what you see here is what those impacts are in terms of traffic volumes. on a daily basis. And you can see as you move across the top, we've looked at closures at 1st, 8th, 10th, 16th, 20th, as well as 5th Avenue and 3rd Avenue. And if you hit forward one more, you should have a little pop-up there. This is just showing what happens at 16th Street. If you close 16th, you see a zero there in the middle, and you're going to take away 28,000 cars a day in volume at 16th Street. But you see what happens to the other locations. You're going to add 10,000 cars a day at 20th Street. You're going to add 5,000 each at 8th and 10th Streets. So we've now been able to go through and based on each individual closure, what happens to the other locations in town. Now, the thing we're still working on is what happens when there's a combination. Say there's a bad storm and you get a closure at 3rd Avenue, 20th Street, and 16th Street. And we're looking at those impacts too. So we'll have similar numbers for what happens when combinations like that happen. So moving on. These are some graphics that visualize those numbers. So this the volume results here on your screen show what happens when you close 16th Street. And I should have put a circle on it, but if you can see 16th Street, see the aqueduct or the overpass on your screen where the railroad is and the number 10 marker there. You can see there's no color on 16th Street, so that means it's closed there. It's simulated closure. And you can see the added traffic on 20th Street. You can see around town the volume numbers on the interstate, which are fairly typical and won't really be impacted by these closures. But you can see some other impacts. And the most important thing is that we can't see today is when you look at each of these closures in sequence. So if you close 1st Street, you can see what the impacts are regionally. And you go through each one, and you can really tell a big difference. So the next screen should be congestion results. And we also looked at volume over capacity, which is a good indicator of congestion. So it basically means, are the roads at capacity in terms of the car carrying capacity they have, or are they low or are they high? Anywhere you see a red mark, which is basically any of the overpasses and over towards Route 60 on the east side of town, those are considered overcapacity and severely congested. So in this instance, if we close 16th Street with a flood event, each of the overpasses are going to be congested. And you can see there's other indicators, the green and the yellow. Again, if you look at each of the closures in sequence from map to map, you can see some impacts on a local and a regional basis. And again, we'll have similar kind of results for the combination closures as well. Any questions on the traffic modeling? Okay, let's move on. The next slide should be the stormwater and green infrastructure, and it's titled Alternative Selection. MS Consultants is working with us to look at combined sewer overflow area number 12, and I'll have a map here in a minute, but they're looking at providing some options on the stormwater side to meet the following goals: to eliminate the underpass flooding up to a specified design size storm, to reduce localized flooding issues within that basin, to reduce the number of events. Basically, so the sanitary board, the water board, doesn't have to respond to as many events as currently exist, and to overall improve water quality. So the four alternatives that they're looking at are conveyance, separating where they are combined sewer right now, storage of excess stormwater, and then some green infrastructure solutions on the surface. And that's really going to tie in with a lot of the traffic and transportation work we're looking at too. Next slide is a map of the existing CSO number 12, and you can see that in the outlined in pink on your screen. And then on the right side are kind of the locations where some of those alternatives are going to be tested. The green infrastructure you see there, and that's really near 16th Street. You can see the stadium just to the east of this area. And then separating storm on both the north side and the south side of the CSX tracks. So we're excited about getting some results and some alternatives developed over the next month related to green infrastructure and how that that combined sewer might be separated. And that'll be passed along to you for your review. The last slide here is next steps. So, like I said, we're going to finalize the simulation of these closures and the combination closures. Excuse me. And then we're going to move into alternatives development. There's going to be, as we come up with options, some solutions that might be employed by the city and the MPO, we're going to look at a benefit cost analysis that will really tie into future grant funds and options for funding these improvements. And we're going to continue analysis of current and future conditions related to the stormwater and wrap that up, and then incorporate green infrastructure options and possibly some road diets. If you go back and take a look at the volume numbers on some of the local roads, volumes are actually not too scary, and I think there might be some options for adding some green infrastructure and maybe looking at modifying some of the cross sections of the area roads to make it more susceptible to infill and infiltration of excess stormwater. And then finally, we're going to come up with some recommendations through this planning process to assess the various system improvements that we're going to consider and to be able to rank them and come up with a priority list for decision makers and stakeholders to use with their respective organizations, and then make a final recommendation. And as I said, that'll be all wrapped up, and we'll have a bow on it by the end of June. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if anyone has any. Otherwise, we'll turn it back over to you.
Any questions from anybody? Okay. We'll move to item number two, which is group two, the Tri-State Airport Access Road Study and Kentucky Transit Study for Boyden Green County, Kentucky. Allison, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, you're up next.
Great. Thank you all for having me. Are my slides on the screen now as well?
They are.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I just wanted to give you all an update on our Group 2 projects. I'll actually do a super quick recap on some of the Group 1 as well. So, first, you'll see a slide that just notes our completed projects. As you all may recall, we had two groupings of projects. They were scheduled scattered over a couple of different fiscal year periods. So all of our original Group 1 projects have now been wrapped up. So you see our completed projects here. On our next slide, we have a list of four projects that are nearing completion. So that would be the travel demand model update, the access road study for the airport, the Boyden Greenup County Transit Study that Paul alluded to, and then also the Huntington Strategic Non-Motorized Connection Study. So let me just quickly take you through where we are with those, and I've gone ahead and put together the schedule for completion on each of these slides as well. For the travel demand model update, I'm pleased to say that the model is submitted and has been reviewed and is now completed. So we waited until we got to the draft MTP stage, which you guys will be hearing about momentarily, I'm sure. And following that, our intention was to come in with model documentation and model training. So with that in mind, we're hoping to have those two items wrapped up in March of this year, and we'll look forward to getting those scheduled and on the calendar sometime soon with Cuyahoga staff. Moving on to the next slide, I did want to give you a little bit more details on the Huntington Tri-State Airport Access Road Study. We're very near a state of completion with this study right now. Actually, this will probably be our first of the four remaining to wrap up. So we're thinking possibly even end of February, if not very beginning of March, for this one to be completed. Final recommendations have already been submitted and reviewed. A couple of key points that I just wanted to point out for you all. We have some key roadway recommendations and then some complementary parking recommendations that have come out of this study. So the most important roadway recommendation, or most notable, I suppose, would be approximately 3,000 feet of a new three-lane roadway beginning near the intersection of Airport Road and Walker's Branch Road. And then also, ultimately, a new intersection, just depending on how that final design ends up coming up, connecting into the terminal loop road. Supporting that, we have a series of potential parking recommendations as well. If the loop road is realigned, that will allow for more public parking inside the loop and also will help facilitate a more seamless entrance to the parking areas. We'll also be able to complement that with employee parking and overflow parking outside of the loop road, and that will come with some hillside stabilization to make sure that we have less of a potential for rock slides in the future and tree fall onto Airport Road. At this point, all we have left to go is our documentation, so again, we should be wrapping that one up sometime soon. I'll move on to the next slide, the Huntington Strategic Non-Motorized Connection Study. At this point, we had the opportunity toward the end of last year to do some stakeholder interviews by phone, which just allowed us to get a better sense of what was needed at each of the five identified corridor locations. So based on that, we've moved into the recommendations development process. We have some draft recommendations identified already and are working on putting those into some photo renderings and graphical displays that will be acceptable for review by Kiowa staff and other stakeholders. We estimate this one to be finished up somewhere in the March-April timeframe, so I'll look forward to providing more information as we get closer to the conclusion of that study. And then the last study I'm going to talk to you all about today is the Boyd and Greenup County Transit Study. We were in Ashland with a steering committee meeting on January the 30th. I hear some of the voices in the intro today that were at that meeting, so I appreciate everyone's attendance and participation through that process. We did have transit agency representatives, local jurisdictions, school systems, FiveCo, and obviously Kiowa staff with us. We're going to be following up with our friends at TTA separately since they were out of pocket on that day, and we want to make sure that they're a part of the process as well. Some of the key things that were discussed at that point, we actually already had both existing conditions complete as well as a service gap analysis. So those were rolled out to the committee. We talked about what policy and service recommendations were a part of that and also vetted them and made some adjustments. There was quite a bit of discussion of the funding structure for transit and some of the changes that have taken place as a part of your all's designation as a TMA. Also, there were some identification of future coordination opportunities, and also some near-term action items were identified at that point. So it was a very productive meeting. I think we came out with a greater sense of where we needed to head for the overall county. So my final slide and our next steps are to finalize that recommendations memorandum and then package everything that we've put together thus far into a final document. And that will be furnished both to Kiowa staff and ultimately also to the steering committee for their review, and hopefully can serve as a guidepost for moving things into implementation. So I know I just said a lot pretty quickly. Are there any questions?
Okay, it looks like you're off the hook.
Thank you.
Thank you for that excellent report. We appreciate that. Okay, Tri-State Transit Expansion Study. Gretchen, are you on there?
Yes, I am.
All right, great. Well, you're up. Do you have slides or anything that we need to be putting up? Okay.
No, yeah. You're just gonna have to listen to me for a few minutes, I think.
That's not too bad.
I'll keep it short. So I'm Gretchen Johnson. I'm from Nelson Nygaard Consulting. We'll be doing the TTA expansion study. This is, I think, the first time Nelson Nygaard has ever actually worked in West Virginia, so I wanted to just introduce the firm and me and then talk a little bit about the study. Nelson Nygaard is headquartered in San Francisco, started about 30 years ago, actually exactly 30 years ago now, started with just two people. We've grown, we're about 120, 25 right now. Most of our offices are along the coasts, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, kind of the big ones out there, and LA, and then Boston, New York, and DC. On the East Coast, we have a bunch of other kind of offices sprinkled around too. So Nelson Nygaard focuses on transit, on multimodal studies, parking, TDM. So we don't do a lot of standard vehicle car planning, but we do a lot with transit and the other modes, I guess, is what I'd say. So I work out of my home, actually, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I was in the Boston office for about 5.5 years before moving out here for my husband's work. But I'm still kind of a Boston outpost, so I'm on the transit team there. My background really is transit, fixed route, and demand response planning. I do a little bit of TDM and the other studies that Nelson Nygaard specializes in, but mostly looking at transit. So with this study, we really want to take a deep dive into the network that TTA has now. We're going to be looking at each of the routes. We're going to be looking at the market, the demand, the need for transit in the area. And also doing a 100% ride check. So essentially having someone on board the buses for I think 3 or 4 days in a row, trying to record the ons and offs at each stop for each route for all trips throughout the day. So we can essentially get sort of a virtual day of service and understand the ridership and what's going on. It'll also include a rider survey to help us understand the satisfaction with the service. And then at the end, hopefully a good plan that helps redesign the routes and the schedules, and or maybe doesn't change them. You know, we're not going to change them just to change them. We really want to focus on making it efficient, effective, and useful for the people who ride, but also attract more ridership. So, and of course, we'll be paying special attention to some of the university routes, because I know that's kind of how the study started. Wanted to look more at serving the university better with some of the shuttles that you do have. So we're going to be looking at those carefully. So that's kind of an overview of where we are now. We're still just getting started. We have a website and the logo kind of underway, so it's not finished yet. So maybe don't go quite yet to the website, but it is actually live at ttatransitstudy.com. And we're also putting together the market analysis, looking at the need and the demand, and the ride check will be happening in early March. Does anyone have any questions? Anything I left out?
Nope, I think that was a good report. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Any questions?
No problem.
No questions on this front. Okay.
Great.
Lawrence County. Thank you very much. Okay, so
yep,
now we're
thanks.
Moving on. Okay. Now we're moving on to Lawrence County Non-Motorized Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan Mobility Study. Is Matt?
Actually, here in person. So.
Yay.
All right, thanks. So we got started on this project a few months ago. I'm going to walk you, this is the first time in front of the TAC here, I'm going to walk you through a little bit of what the tasks are, what the process is, and work activities and work status of the project. So this study contains 5 tasks. First is the truck mobility study. Then there's the bike and ped study in Lawrence County. There's a traffic study on Park Avenue in Ironton. There's the Ironton bicycle ped non-motorized study. And then the last task is the sidewalk assessment for the city of Ironton. The first task, the truck flow study, looking at the patterns, the truck movements has changed with the new bridge opening there. We're going to look at we're assessing the impacts of those trucks going through Ironton, and we're going to coordinate that with the rest of the tasks of the study. So today, we've completed our field studies, our data collection, some of our existing conditions. We're currently evaluating some of the intersections, specifically the intersection of Park Avenue and 2nd Street, that northbound right that goes out to get to 52, as well as the intersection coming off the new bridge there at Jefferson and 2nd. There's some traffic issues there we need to look at specifically. So we're going to look at the, you know, how do we mitigate any of those impacts that those trucks have, and then we'll provide that report next month. The second task is the bike ped plan for Lawrence County, and we're developing a plan for all the facilities of the county. We want to specifically look at the eastern part of the county over by Proctorville, Chesapeake area. We're conducting some data collection now, going to provide some analysis. That'll be completed in March. We're going to roll this up with some public participation, public involvement come April. Get that feedback, provide some recommendations, and then get the plan wrapped up this summer in June. The third task is the Park Avenue traffic study, and this is looking at improvements along for safety and mobility along the corridor in Ironton, for basically from 6th Street north up to the 52 intersection ramps up there. We're going to be conducting traffic counts. Actually, they're scheduled to start today, and they're going to be done today, tomorrow, and Thursday. We're conducting counts along Park Avenue at 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and at the ramps at 52 there. So if you see anybody out there, that's what they're doing there. They're taking turns moving counts, just in the morning peak hour and the afternoon peak hour. After we collect the existing conditions, then we'll look at any existing plans. We're still trying to collect some of that data to put in there. After we do that, then we'll complete the crash analysis, signal worn analysis, the capacity analysis along there in order to help us form our recommendations for the corridor. As part of recommendations, then we'll be looking at how we consolidate any drives, the intersection, sidewalk improvements, any sidewalk types, or any landscaping. So all the way from 6th up north of the 52 links. The fourth task of this study is a City of Ironton, the bike ped, and it's going to serve as a guidebook or planning for development of any routes, paths, connections within the city. We'll look at providing some updates or improvements to those. We'll be conducting some data collection and analysis in April. We'll roll that in with our public participation process we'll have in April, and then we'll provide some recommendations in May, and then have a master plan in June for that. So we're still just getting underway with that. Then the last task of this study is the sidewalk inventory and assessment in Ironton. We're looking at any improvements that need to be made for ADA accessibility compliance and curb ramps and sidewalks. We're going to coordinate that then with all the other tasks that are part of this study. We've actually already completed all the LIDAR mapping in Ironton. We've collected all the CBD and then up the area along around the university and the high schools there. So we're in the process of processing that, putting it into a CAD file that we can use to assess that. As part of that, we collected any WIP information with the roadway sidewalk, curb ramps, detectable warnings. We'll be looking at profiles, we'll be looking at slopes, where things either meet the standards or don't meet the standards. We'll identify those deficiencies and have that completed in March. From there, then we'll start to prioritize what those are, let you know what the costs are for implementing those improvements and develop that plan for that. So that's all the tasks. We are involved in this with stakeholder and public engagement. We're having monthly progress meetings with people from the city and the county, Cuyahoga, ODOT. We've been having some discussions. We'll bring them in as well. We'll coordinate with the TAC here. And then we're going to look at doing one public involvement meeting for these tasks, probably in April. We're going to try to, we need to talk to ODOT about coordinating that with their STIP TIP public meeting that they have either in late March or early April to get some input on the draft recommendations that we've had already. So we're welcome any input, especially since we just got started in much of the study, so we welcome any input we can get, and free to answer any questions either now or after the meeting. So thanks.
Thanks, Matt.
LIDAR data, what other kind of type of data analysis
That was one request from the city there, yeah.
Yeah.
To look at that. So basically, we'll just do a lot of field observation, try to figure out where some gaps and deficiencies are. The good thing is we can use that LiDAR data then to help us do that. So it's probably something that we normally wouldn't have, but since we're doing this all apart one study, it's good information.
Okay, other questions for Matt? Okay, well, thank you very much, sir. Nice presentation. Anything else, Lane? Very good, thank you. Okay, item number four, amendment number five to the Kiowa FY 2013 TMA, Coordinated Human Services Transportation Plan. That's a lot of the mouthful. Terry?
Okay. Kiowa is presently working on amendment number five to the coordinated plan. I'm going to shorten it to the coordinated plan because that is a mouthful. And that's kind of what we refer to it around here is that we've had a party that was interested to be added to the plan, and that was Easter Seals of Central and Southeast Ohio. And so for us to do that, we have to put the document back out for a 15-day public review, and we have done that. And the actual public review started February the 6th and concludes today. There was a public notice put in the Herald Dispatch on February the 9th, and we also held an open house on Thursday the 16th, which no comments were received. And actually, we received no comments whatsoever between the start of the public comment period until now. So what we will end up doing is asking the policy committee to approve this with, you know, as it is for, to be amended into the coordinated plan. And what the coordinated plan allows them to do is apply for Section 5310, which is FTA transit money for them to use within an urbanized area. And so that is the ultimate goal for them. So.
Okay. Well, this policy board will need to make, or TAC committee will need to make a recommendation to the policy board, and that will require a motion.
Motion.
Okay. Second? Is there a second?
Second, sir.
All right. We got Ralph seconded. Thank you. It is kind of in Lawrence County, so you better be seconding it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign? Okay. Motion carries. Item number five. All right, amendment number seven to Kiowa's 2016-2019 TIP. Swain, Jody?
I think everybody has a copy of the amendment number seven in your package. Kiowa is working to amend the current TIP 2016 to 2019 based on the request from the DOTs and the Transit Authority in West Virginia. As you see, the highway project consists in West Virginia consists of the resurfacing project in US 60. Also, we have installation of cable guardrail on I-64. Also, there's a bridge replacement in I-64 near Huntington Mall. For Lawrence County, we have two resurfacing jobs for State Route 141 and State Route 93. West Virginia, also, we have a request from TTA to amend the TIP. Basically, there is a request from Transit Authority to move funds ferry feet buses from FY 2017 to FY 2018. Same funding, no change. And also there's a request to increase for basic support vehicles for in FY 18 and 19 by 36,000. Of course, any question about the transit, we have TTA here, Jennifer and Paul. I'd like to remind you, all the projects will not increase capacity. That means all the projects are exempt from very closely. Also, we had a 15-day public review, began February 1st and ended February 15th. I'm going to add the interagency consultation agree on this project and endorsed by them.
Okay. A motion will be needed to move it to the policy committee. Is there a motion to do that? All right. We got a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign. All right. Thank you very much on behalf of TTA. We appreciate that. If we can get the policy board to agree. Okay. Item number six. And Salim, you want to talk about the integrated MTP?
Yeah, actually, one of the TMA requirements to integrate Hamilton Transportation Plan and Ashland, and we have to integrate these two documents in one document, then we end up having one transportation plan for the whole TMA, relatively. That's what the one of the TMA requirements. As you see, Bethany Shikana, she also involved heavily in this project. As you see, the first draft, it is due on the 24th, and basically any comments we will receive after that will be addressed in the final draft on the April 28th. Then the process really, we're supposed to have a series of public meetings for review and comments on the draft. Hopefully we'll have this public workshop in around April in West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio. As I mentioned, the good news, air quality analysis is no longer required for our area, since Huntington Ashland area no longer required to demonstrate conformity for 1997 particulate matter for the annual National Ambient Air Quality Standard under 40 CFR standard. That's what really, this is the document. I think we have, Bethany, you can add if I'm...
The CDs that you have in front of you have the MTP on it, and it's also on our website. And the CDs also have the tips that Jody will talk about. But if you need a paper document, we have it here.
Yeah, basically we have hard copies, we have CDs, and these documents also available on the Tioba website. What about your preference? It's available. Basically, my recommendation, really, I need, I know both the document is heavy, around 300-400 pages, but from the tech, really, I expect, like if from Ohio, go ahead and review Ohio section. If you are from Kentucky, review Kentucky section. If you are from West Virginia, review Kentucky section. And the transit people, really, go ahead and review the transit section and the MTD. And also we have in consultation with the air quality people, we're going to send this project to them to make sure also addressed by them. Federal Highway Administration people, go ahead and make sure we meet all the federal requirements on the document. We need really look at your section, look at the section related to you, and send us the comments. But our responsibility, we're in charge over the whole document. Of course, this document has been produced in consultation heavily with the three state DOTs and also with other technical folks. And also, we have a consultant who give us a slight technical support during this process. Still, the document is fluid and hopefully will be finalized by April 28th.
Okay. I guess a motion is required.
Motion.
All right, second. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you very much. Item number seven. Salim, I'm glad you're still standing.
Okay. As you look, this is really the tip. This document said the 2018 and 2021. This document is a subset for the 2040 transportation plan. This is a subset, basically, that the master copy, and this is a subset. And this is a requirement. We have to update this document once every 2 years. Again, this document, it will follow the same schedule of this document. We're going to have the draft will be the 24th. The final draft will be April 28th. We're going to have a public review process, workshops. Everything go together concurrently. And hopefully we'll have this federal approval before June 30th, these two documents. This is very sensitive document that really, it's a program, remember, not plan. That means project by project, the funding is there. It's make sure, look at your project, make sure for the same year. If you have a commitment, make sure you have the commitment ready for us. It's a program. That means scheduling is so important. If something happens, we need to amend.
Okay. Motion is required. All right. Jerry, is there a second?
Second.
All right. Thank you very much. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries. All right. We got number eight, Salim. Certified work plan.
Okay. Remember all these documents and the teamwork, heavily Kiowa staff involved and everything, and just I'm presenting, actually. Basically, this is the work program. If you look at the work program, basically, what we had an abstract. If you look at the abstract, it will roughly explain what this document is. This document, basically, it's a federal and state requirement. We have to have it annually. Basically, show all the funding sources. And the emphasis for this work program, basically, on performance measures, that's consistent with the current transportation bill, FAST Act. Also, we have the Title VI, environmental justice. And the biggest thing, really, that also Kiowa will work on the state DOT performance goals, and hopefully that will help the state DOTs to meet their target. The draft for this document is due on March 3rd, and the final will be on April 28th. If you open table of contents, basically, it shows you all the work elements. Basically, from the start, from 3801, I don't want to read everything, but you can see all the general line items. And we have consulting services project. That's the list. Please, again, read the document. Look at your section that related to you. If you have any questions or comments, just let us know. And the final draft should be produced again by April 28th. Terry, do you want to have it?
No. Thank you.
Basically, that's what, and we have our executive director here, Chris. Anything from the document?
Salim, you're the brains behind the operation, so I think that I think you summed it up very nicely.
As you see, it is the funding looks good, at least for the FY18 from Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia. Hopefully, we'll keep the same level of last year. And as I said, it's a mix. We have to meet the requirement of the FAST Act, and we have also special projects we need to do.
Questions?
Can you give just a brief explanation of why the policy committee needs to pass this now, since it's basically a draft at this point?
Yeah, because Ohio DOT needs the draft.
They need
by
to draft approved.
Approved.
Okay.
That's the DOT Ohio. I have Caroline. She's here from central office. That's due on the 3rd, right? Don't forget. That's Ohio needed. And hopefully, any comments, we can address that comments before the final. It is very sensitive document that basically without this document, we can't operate. Yes.
Well, the only other thing is that, you know, your question, if you had a question about changing or adapting, it's, we do amendments on a regular basis, funding changes or scope changes. So,
you just need to tell the boss while we're approving.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
It's an annual document. That's what really the... We need action by this committee to recommend. But again, I said if you transit, go review the transit. If you are a local sponsor for any project here, go ahead and review. If you're federal, go ahead and review the federal requirement. State, make sure we have the state requirement. Make sure the funding is accurate. It's a dynamic process, but we need to make sure it's accurate as much we can before we have the final.
When's the final drop dead date?
It is April 28th. That's what the final draft do for the three stages.
Okay. Is there a motion to recommend it to the policy board?
Motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You know, I've been attending these Kiowa meetings since, I'm like 25 years or so, and that second is always hard to get. It hasn't changed in 25 years. I don't know what that is. But anyway, thank you very much. Okay. We have Jerry Berenza has another meeting that he needs to attend, and he asked to jump ahead a little bit on the agenda. Not much, but Jerry, you want to give it a
Seems to me to disrupt the natural flow.
No, that's okay.
Jerry, did you have slides that
I did not.
Oh,
okay.
It's just we have an ADA project going out at the airport, which i.e. is a elevator system, and it brings people from the level of the parking lot up to the terminal. It's a dual elevator redundant system. We'll have two elevators and two indoor stairwells that will be covered in this building facility to alleviate inclement weather conditions and everything. And, you know, just so you guys know, you know, dual elevator system at the airport, expensive project for just one level, but eventually we're designing this elevator system so the roof can come off and be extended two or three more floors to accommodate. What we expect to be able to build in a couple of years is an intermodal transportation facility to bring the public side of the airport, ticket counter, the baggage claim, places you can just walk into the terminal, out into this intermodal transportation facility, which is also going to be a parking garage. So you'll have the inner part of or the public part of the airport inside the parking garage and parking up above it. So it's very important that we get this project done because it's sort of phase one for this entire process. So we asked the architects to go back and give us three different conceptual designs for the project. We chose the one that we thought fit best, which is more of an industrial-type design. And right now it's in the design phase. So I think it looks real good. And at the next meeting, I'll be able to bring some photos so you guys can put it up there and see what it looks like.
Okay. Any questions for Jerry? That is an exciting project. Those of us who use Tri-State frequently, you know, sometimes
yeah,
it's a hike.
Dragging up your
sometimes luggage. It's a hike. Even as I get older, it's even more difficult. But it will be an exciting project, and it really makes things a lot better for us. Yeah, appreciate it, Jerry.
Yep, thanks for moving me out too.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, item number 9. We have a transit systems update, and you have us listed first. So I guess we'll go, right, Jennifer? I thought I'd call on you and have you stand up and do it. Well, anyway, we got a couple of things. I'll stand. I like to stand when I talk. We heard Nyson Nygaard is doing the study, the expansion study for us at the Transit Authority. So that's going to be really exciting. We have a couple of other projects, and I want to take just a second to further introduce Tyler Cummings. He's an intern at Marshall that's interning with us at CTA. And as you know, for the area and Kiowa helped us with some bike rack money. So there is a grant under STP funds that we are working with BRI at the city, and we're trying to do an extensive placement and purchase and install of additional bike racks in our community that will help people with that first and last mile on tracking to the bus and using public transportation. And plus, lots of other people use them too. So we're really excited to have Tyler Cummings with us here and helping us through this semester. And so who knows? Golly, it's good to have a millennial with us to kind of get some fresh thoughts at TTA. We are purchasing 4 new buses at TTA, and we're really excited about that. You know, those 35-foot heavy-duty transit buses are expensive beasts, and they are beasts. So they're $400,000 beasts, and so if it's not for the federal government and the STP and our friends from Highways and other people helping us do this, it would have been very difficult to replace the buses that have nearly 400,000 to 500,000 miles on them. So getting ready to issue a contract for that. And I want to bring you up to date, and Jennifer and I, our access study, our access agreement with Marshall University is going very well. Since its inception, we've carried a little over 31,000, had 31,000 boardings of Marshall students onto the system since we started back August. So that's a success story for us. We're really excited about it. But there is one component of this little downtown circulator that we have that has not been performing like we had hoped it would. It's the late night, Friday and Saturday night, that runs from 12 o'clock to 3 a.m. So we thought we'd get out and start understand why it's not working like it should. Well, after we got out, we realized that there is a whole different world out there after midnight at 3, from midnight to 3 a.m. You guys, I know it's probably been a long time, but you really need to get out and see that. I mean, it's really interesting. But we started a promotion to the sororities and fraternities or anybody else that's at Marshall or a group that wants to use that bus as a fundraiser. We're supplying hot dogs, and they're able to sell the hot dogs from 12 to 3 a.m. and try to get people to ride the bus. Well, it's been successful. And in fact, after Jennifer and I got out and rode the bus, oh my God, I was eating a Stewart's hot dog at 2:30 a.m. I don't remember. I remember doing things like that. My stomach was a 20-year-old stomach back then, not almost a 60-year-old stomach. But we've learned that we really need to change the route. It needs to be more on 4th Avenue. And so we've made some adjustments. We have music. We have lights on the bus. I mean, so if you get on the bus and you've been someplace and the party's been going on, the party continues right on the bus. So, but anyway, we've had some success. We've almost tripled the ridership on it, and we're really excited about that. So, Tyler, Jennifer, you guys have anything you want to say? Okay. Lawrence County. Mike?
Well, first I want to say that I want to commend PTA for that. If you really think about it, probably a lot of DUIs have been prevented by doing that. That's a big deal. So, you know, we appreciate you guys doing that. I'm sure you probably saw a little bit of that at 2:30 in the morning, I would imagine.
Oh, it's a whole different world.
But no, I want to, Lawrence County Transit, things are going well. I want to once again thank PTA. They run our OBC Express, our bus system, and it's running well. We're excited that we've got a couple of vehicles on order through ODOT, and with thanking Kiowa and also ODOT for some CMAC funding, we're going to be adding some new services in July, and I think that's what we're ramping up for right now.
Kentucky. Anybody want to report on Kentucky? What's going on?
I guess I can. Really, they're working on waiting for the study to come out. There's not a whole lot of new activity. There aren't. I think they have ordered a couple of buses on under 5307 funding. So they're waiting on that. It's just pretty stable. Not a whole lot going on. They're happy about that. So.
Okay. Very good. Okay. We're moving on to item number 10 on the agenda, and we've already heard from Jerry Berenza, City of Huntington Projects. Ree Schell.
I don't really have too much to update on. We're still working with creating some priority path connections, looking to the state and our funders in that regard, as well as partnering with some really big, great projects happening in the city with the Highland Brownfield Project, looking at the property between the university and the High Lawn neighborhood, and what connections we made with integrating PAC within that, as well as participating in the Halgrove corridor management study conducted by the state. So we're really trying to partner with those existing projects and move forward.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bree. West Virginia DOT and statewide freight study plan update. Rob Watson.
Statewide freight plan is currently, let's say, in limbo. It's the Deputy State Highway Engineer's office. He would like to convene a meeting to do some of the preliminary routes for the state freight network. If you haven't heard, we have a new governor. So he's actually out right now looking at some massive changes. So that's kind of been the focus right now. We're kind of shifted off from that. And the other thing that we've been kind of slowed down on, even with the freight plan and a number of other things we're working on, has been the hold up on performance measures that were delayed until the middle of March. So that's kind of all kind of treading water right now. But looks like we're hoping you all have followed Jim Justice's mantra and called all your outlaws and told you to support the 10 cent gasoline tax. And we're all for it this year.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that. Let's jump across the river and talk to Thomas Witt on Kentucky.
All right. The main thing that we've been working on lately is putting together a new draft six-year highway plan, which will become effective in 2018. As you may be aware, we do this every 2 years, and the way it works is the cabinet puts together a plan. We give it to the governor, and then he gives it to the legislators for approval. So this year, we're trying a pretty completely different approach. And because with the falling revenues from the lower gas prices, the plan as it exists right now is very much over-programmed. So to try to prioritize those needs, we've taken a data-driven approach, which we've been working on developing the formulas and the overall approach during the past year. And we just recently rolled that out and made it public so that the MPOs and the area development districts can start business with that. But the new process is called the Strategic Highway Investment Formula for Tomorrow, SHIFT for short. And there's a handout in your packet that kind of provides a general overview of that process. And I know I talked about this at the Boyd Greenup Transportation Forum, and I apologize if you have to hear this twice, but we are going to be requiring the assistance of the MPOs, so I wanted to just provide a brief overview of that and let you know what's coming up. And so essentially, like I said, it's going to be a data-driven approach, and not every project that goes into the six-year plan is going to be included in this process. We're not going to include things like rural and municipal aid, maintenance work such as bridge replacements and roadway resurfacing, or any of the dedicated MPO funds. That's all outside of the SHIFT process. SHIFT is looking more at the major road widening improvements, reconstruction, new routes, that sort of thing. The process, we've identified five priorities that are scored through this process. You know, the projects are examined to see how well they address those priorities, and those include, they're the items in the green chevrons on your handout, so improving safety, reducing congestion, fueling job growth or economic development, and then asset preservation, and finally spending tax dollars wisely. So most of those are actually, we're able to quantify how well a project addresses those based on our existing databases, but there is one item, spending tax dollars wisely, which is actually based on, to be able to measure that, we calculate a benefit-cost ratio, and that's very much involved, and we can't do it easily from the data that we have. So the way that this process is going to work is each of the MPOs and area development districts, depending on whether you're in an urban or a rural area, we'll get to sponsor projects, and the highway district office will also get to sponsor projects. And once those projects are sponsored, those are going to be evaluated for a benefit cost ratio, which will get to a final score. And there's basically two different tiers of projects, which are shown on the back of your handout. The first tier is the statewide projects, and those are projects that are on the national highway system, have a significant impact on regional statewide mobility. And those are going to be scored completely based on the data-driven approach. And then for the regional projects, which are projects that don't meet the criteria or don't score well for the statewide project, those are going to also be scored on the same factors, but there's also going to be 30% of the score is going to be made up of local input points. So that's how the MPO and the Highway District Office are going to help us collect those projects, by providing those local input points for those projects. So, if you look on, and the goal is, if you look on the other sheet in your handout, there's a schedule. And if you look at the schedule, it's pretty tight because we need to have this done, we need to have a draft six-year plan done by November. So, currently, what we're asking the MPOs to do is to help us decide which projects to sponsor. The district office, Joe Callahan, District 9, in this area, they're going to be looking at which projects to sponsor, too. But the MPO staff is going to be working with the local officials in Greenup County. And we need to have a final sponsorship list by March 31st. And the MPO, we're asking, the MPO, I think, is going to pass a resolution. There may have to be a special policy committee meeting to do that. But that's how you're going to select which projects are going to be analyzed and evaluated to go into the new six-year highway plan. So that's pretty much all I have to say about that. I don't know if anybody has any questions at this point. If you do, feel free to ask.
Okay, no questions for Thomas. Thank you, Thomas. Good report. Thank you. Okay. Boyd and Greenup County's project update. Terry, is that you? Terry Sicking?
Yeah. Okay.
Surprise?
Surprise, surprise.
Joe.
I think that probably needs to be Joe.
Joe?
Okay. Well, Terry was kind enough to insert the project update sheet in your
page.
I want to wait on Reed's project, but I'll just touch on some highlights. Boyd County 9-400 is a congestion mitigation project that's a US 60 from I-64 at Colton to 3180 Kennensburg. And the main point there is that the plating schedule has been pushed out to January 2019. It's probably a budget issue, but as it turns out, the right of way in the state is probably needed next month. We need to still another couple of years before we let that project continue. In Greenup County, the bridge replacement of at Russell, that project at the Kentucky side of the new Ironton Russell Bridge, we are nearing the completion of right-of-way phase, and utility company's been authorized, and we're still hoping for a construction bidding late this year. So I hope that means that in a couple of years we'll have completed the project. We'll work for Techno. 9-8509 is Neck Road, connecting Flatwoods to Kentucky 207, or X Kentucky 207 to the Industrial Parkway, which is Kentucky 67. That's a pretty big project there. The construction was an arterial route from urbanized areas to the Industrial Parkway. We're still waiting on some design things there, but we're trying to get that going there. And we do have a new signal, or actually a signal upgrade in Ashland at 29th Street and 168. Cable signals there, but we're going to install a Mastar code that's going to correct the geometry of some of those lights. And then that should improve that situation. And also, I think I mentioned last time about the navigational lights on the 12th and 13th Street bridges and also the Perkins Bridge in South Shore. Work hopefully will begin mid March and start the first completion there.
Very good. Thanks, Joe. Any questions for Joe? All right. Okay, Lawrence County projects update. Patrick?
You know, we have a few projects on the tip. One is the Lawrence County pavement markings that's on various routes. That is scheduled to be filed with ODOT on May 1st. So that project should start after the summer. On Lawrence County Road 5 and 29, that one will also be filed on by May 1st to start this summer. We have the Lawrence US 52 and Sullivan Road. That's the roundabout there on Sullivan Road. Right now we're waiting on funding availability. That is a design build project, so once the funds become available, we can start on that project. Lawrence County Road 410, that's Walmart Way up by Sam's. That's the roundabout up there. That's scheduled to be done in fiscal year 21, so we're just waiting on funding availability. Lawrence, County Road 1 at the 5.35 mile mark, that's an ER project with a slip, and I'm working on getting scopes from the consultants on that project. Same thing with County Road 4 at the 4.75 mile mark. We also have a US 52 interchange study. That's one that we're waiting on funding availability to start that, and that's basically a feasibility study to what we can do to upgrade those interchanges at the Charlie Creek and Sandusky Road intersections.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of through the tip. So.
Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you. Is there any other questions for Patrick? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Okay, Ironton Riverfront, Ralph Klein.
A little bit's happened on that project since our last meeting. There was another request for information from the Corps of Engineers that has been submitted and verbally it's stated that it meets their expectations. We should be getting a bid at any time. So, we would anticipate that going out to bid and begin construction in July.
Any other projects you want to talk about? Okay. This is in others. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Ralph. Appreciate that. Ohio DOT, Carolyn Griffith has an update.
So, as far as the fence is concerned, we just got everybody's tips in, and we're currently reviewing everything. So, Kyle is going on this right now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Any other updates anybody want to bring to the front? Okay. And then we'll move on to item number 11. And Terry, you want to bring us up to date on the 5310 program?
Well, please jump in with any time that you and Jennifer feel that. First off, we had several people inquiring about our round four for the 5310 program. We have not established a date yet, but we have talked about sometime in the spring. So as soon as we get a date, I'll make sure that that goes out to everybody. The application process and applications will remain the same. There aren't going to be any changes. So if you wanted to get a head start on the applications, you know, feel free to go ahead and use what's online now. And but like I said, we're not actually opening the cycle yet for that. Tri-State Industries, which were out of Lawrence County, can no longer operate their vehicles that they had purchased or received through the 5310 program. And so that's kind of what started the Easter Seals to request permission through the coordinated plan with Tri-State Industries being in Lawrence County. We, you know, as the 5310, Cuyahoga, TTA, and all of us felt that the mask is provided through Lawrence County people. So we were hoping to get another agency in Lawrence County to help fulfill some of those needs of those community members that were using it through Tri-State Industries. So Easter Seals is, you know, working, TTA and Cuyahoga working with Easter Seals to assume that and hopefully transfer the vehicles to them at some point in time. They're in the application process right now, and there's because we're a new TMA, and we're not real sure about how you actually transfer these vehicles. Jennifer's been looking into some of that, so we feel that it shouldn't be an issue, but like I said, right now that's kind of where we are with that. TTA currently has the two vehicles on site at their place down here, so they're going to get them cleaned up and get them ready to go. But that's really about all I have for 5310. Do you all, Jennifer, Paul, or?
We are actually, we have a bid out on the street for the cutaways.
Okay.
National bus sales flow out to the creative bus sales, so there's a little bit of an issue. So we have a bid on the street for cutaways, and we're working on a new bid for minivans down the road.
Okay.
We have two other minivans down there as well. We're waiting on the license plate from the DMV for both for the other applicants.
Okay. So, like I said, it's moving along. We've got some, you know, we had some hiccups there because of not having the supplier, but I think we're getting back on track now. So everything should start moving smoothly again. So,
just an interjection. I think that kind of explanation is what the policy committee needs, so they know why they're making a motion to accept that into the program, because that's an avenue we're using to be able to regain service in those locations before they vote on it.
Uh-huh.
Make any sense? That's to me, but I think the policy committee, even if we can just do little snippets of information that they can see, that they can read quickly and say, this is the reason why we're voting to approve something. Because a lot of times, like I said, the boss says, why are we doing this? So I'm just saying, I think that would be beneficial. I mean, that information is great, Terry. It's just, it'd be neat if you had that information when you were making that vote for why you were adding them to the process.
Any questions on the 5310 program?
Just I want to add one thing. The 5310, it's a round four, and we had very successful three rounds previously, and TTA really worked so hard in that program to make it very successful. Our 5310 really very successful program, all the performance is good. That's TTA behind the whole thing. Cuyahoga supporting that through administration work, but TTA really who's putting the full effort into the 5310, very successful comparing to other areas, Ohio, Ano, or Kentucky. That's very successful.
Well, thanks, Selene, but we do need applicants, you know, for handicapped and elderly. This program previously was, you know, managed by the state of West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio. They were three separate things. And so now, as a TMA, that's all under our, you know, we are the designated recipient. We're partnered with Cuyahoga, but we need applicants. We need people that want to use these vehicles. It's not a whole lot of money. It's about $230,000 a year. But still, if you're operating a senior program or other program similar to that serves the elderly and handicapped, that money can go a long ways toward a new vehicle and really help their program. So We're happy to do it. We're excited about it. It's, you know, it's added quite a bit of more work to poor old Jennifer at the end of the table there. But, but you know, she wears many hats. She's our drug and alcohol person, procurement officer. She does. She's probably going to need some drugs and alcohol when we get through with this.
And 5310 contest, it's a reflection for the TMA. If the 5310 is very good, that means the TMA and good status and good
And if anybody has any questions about eligibility, you know, contact us and we can sit down and kind of talk about what's eligible, what's not. You know, don't not apply because you're not sure. You know, just, you know, put aside, hey, we're not eligible, because there's a lot of different categories that you can fall into. You know, one of them is meals on wheels type delivering meals. And so if you have a senior program, you think you're only going to use it for 2 days, and maybe somebody else can share it for the other couple of days or something. So, I mean, there's ways to use those vehicles.
And then I'll add to Terry, if you have an application, always we try to find a way to say yes. That's really our philosophy.
Yeah.
That's the instruction from the board, instruction from Kayoba, to say yes. Nobody will listen.
We're trying to make the program work.
An application, we try to find a way to say yes.
Okay. Item number 12, moving right along. We're getting close to where the only thing between us and lunch is these last few items on the agenda. Sorry, just saying. Kiowa sub-allocated funds for STP, TAP, CMAC, and Ohio, I guess. Update. Celine, Terry,
I'm gonna say
round
few,
four.
A few words, and I leave it to Terry. The round is open, and intend to apply. It's due, I think, in March, March 17th, and the final application due in April 28th. If you have any project, please bring it. And as I said, all the time we try to find a way to say yes for these applications. Terry, go ahead.
Okay. To piggyback on top of that, we have also a workshop scheduled on Friday, February the 3rd at 10 o'clock for anybody who's interested in finding, I'm sorry, March. I want to go back. I want to have a do-over. But it was March 3rd at 10 o'clock, and we're going to have it here in the office. There's a flyer out on the website. I've contacted most of the cities and counties that are eligible, but if for some reason you received it, or you represent a city or county or agency that didn't get something, let me know. Check with them to do that. It is online. If you go onto the Kiowa website, on the left sidebar, as there says sub-allocated funds, round four, and there's all two types of applications. The one's a PDF where you can print it out and fill it in by hand, or there's another one that's actual fillable through the computer. Once you fill it on the computer, you still have to print it out and send it to us, but you won't have to handwrite it. Now, we've had sometimes, I think we fixed a little glitches in it, sometimes when it won't populate for the dollar amount, but if it doesn't, go ahead and just print it off and handwrite that part in there. Or make sure you call me, though, because I'll try to fix it, you know, but sometimes on my computer, last time it worked, and other people did it, and it didn't work on when they did there, so I don't know what the problem is. But we'll work with you on that. But it is online, and if you have any questions about project eligibility and stuff, let us know, too. We'll do that as well.
Thank you, Terry. You might as well keep standing. Oh, is there a question, Phil?
At 10:30.
At 10:30, March 3rd.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Terry? 10:30?
Mm-hmm.
10:30.
Okay. And while you're standing, you want to take item number 13?
The Boyd and Green Advisory, Citizens Advisory Committee met on Friday, the February the 17th at 10 o'clock at the Golden Corral, which was a kind of a different approach because we usually meet at noon there. But we had a good turnout. Most of the focus was on the shift prioritization process that Thomas mentioned. We have said as the group to meet on March the 3rd. March 3rd is going to be very busy for me. March the 3rd at 2 o'clock at the Flatwood Senior Center to go over and prioritize the projects. It is an open format. If you're interested in attending, once again, let me know, and we'll get you directions and the information. The committee had asked for some additional information about some of the data, about some definitions, and we'll be getting that information to the committee as well. Joe was there, and he provided an update for just what he gave here. Talked about the integration kind of and the TIP and that all the information we kind of summarized here as well. Next in the actual the next meeting besides the prioritization scheduled for April the 20th. I don't have a time yet.
How long do you anticipate the workshop taking?
Well, I've got to be down there at 2 o'clock.
So right, well,
it's supposed to be scheduled from 10 to 12.
Okay.
And it usually doesn't take that long. Usually about 11:30 we're out of here in the past.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Item number 14, other business. We have, looks like, a federal update from Chandra. You're here. Here you are. Want to give us a federal update? Okay. I guess we got a partial apportionment under the Federal Transit Administration, so we don't have a full year. So.
No, they're working on that. They're a different agency than me, so I'm not really sure what's going on.
Yeah.
I've heard rumors that there's some sort of report that they want in before they'll release all the money. So I'm not sure if they have, but need me to follow up with it. I'm happy to do that with them.
As soon as we get that, we can do our split letter for the transit system. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Upcoming COBA policy meetings. You have those dates here. Anything to add, Salim or Terry?
Yeah. COBA policy meeting, that's on the Friday, the 24th.
Yes. Yes, this Friday.
This Friday.
Yes. And you mentioned or alluded to that the advisory committee in the Boyd and Lawrence County Greenup are the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, Jody, we have, before we adjourn, we have two videos to see. And is that your beck and call?
Jody, hold on just 1 second. Before we go to that, I just want to just meet you all, get a sneak peek. Just, but on the 28th, the next policy meeting, not this Friday, but April 28th, it's going to be in Ashland at the Ashland Depot.
Okay.
We'll mention that again on Friday for the policy meeting. But for some of you folks that you know aren't going to be able to make it back on Friday, I just want to let you know that April 28th, we'll be meeting in Ashland at the bus at the depot.
Also, to reiterate comments on the MCP and the TFP and the work program that we take to have. We also have on the TV and it's on our website. We have the presentation tab. If you guys want to see that, if you want to save your you can leave your documents here. If not, if you'd rather have electronic versions or you can take a paper and have the CD, whichever you prefer. So, we'll do the fun video first.
Oh, this is TTA's?
Yeah.
This is the late night bus, the safety bus, or sometimes referred to as the vomit comet.
Just our open containers.
Open containers. Who wouldn't want to ride that bus?
That's just at the bus?
Yeah. There you go. Jody, shame on you.
I didn't see you in there dancing, Paul.
Oh, I was taking the video.
That would be much more fun. Yeah.
Jennifer can take the video. We need to see.
I try to get
to see in there.
Becoming more popular. Communities are working to build connected networks, encourage healthy lifestyles, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and enhance access to opportunities. One of our highest priorities is pedestrian and bicycle safety. Our challenge is to encourage more people to walk and bike while making it safer for everyone. Federal Highways Research Program supports and promotes pedestrian and bicycle transportation through all phases of planning, project development, design, operations, and maintenance. Our pedestrian and bicycle research projects deliver resources and tools for practitioners and stakeholders. Resources that help communities create connected pedestrian and bicycle networks that allow people of all ages and abilities to safely and conveniently get where they want to go. The LEAD Project, the strategic agenda for pedestrian and bicycle transportation will inform future investments, coordinate policies, and promote partnerships on topics such as data collection and management, network implementation and documentation, research, training, and national design guidance. Another resource, the Separated Bike Lane Planning and Design Guide, outlines planning considerations and design options for separated bike lanes, also known as cycle tracks and protected bike lanes. Additional design resources have recently been developed that highlight design flexibility and provide planning and design solutions in places where transportation modes come together, such as transit stations, schools, and essential services. Other research projects highlight options for pedestrian and bicycle performance measures and strategies for building on-road bike networks during routine resurfacing projects. These projects encourage and support flexibility and innovation. Federal Highways is investing in pedestrian and bicycle research that will help communities build connected networks, improve safety, promote equity, and encourage more people to walk and bike. For more information, please visit our website.
You can find out more about the Federal Highway Administration on the web at www.fh.
I'll mention too that FHWA has put out a rural design guide. If you haven't seen that, it's available online. It helps families to step up.
Okay, anything else for the good of the order? If not, we'll see you folks on Friday at the policy meeting. All right.
And I will make sure we have the airport stuff.
Okay. Bill, would you move to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
All right.
Wait an hour and a half.
I got Ralph here. I'll have you both to sign it today.
Okay. Yes.
And you can sign both of them. You have an original.